they didn't. Two, they must be surplus to the minimum parking requirement. But in this case, the car stackers make up one half of the minimum required car spaces of 12. There are six between the three car stackers. Three, they must be able to be accessed independently without the need of the other vehicle in the stacker being moved. But we don't know this because the council engineer development report is not in the report before any of us here today. And four, the car spaces...
That's 3 minutes.
Could I please have a short extension?
1 minute.
Thank you. The car spaces in the stacker must belong to the same unit or tenancy. The boarding house tenants will not all live in the one unit or room, and this DA has no management plans which detail regarding accessibility of car keys. So, panel members, this DA breaches multiple measures applied by council to approve the use of mechanical car stackers. In summary, this site is a one-way road with very limited street parking capacity, a busy RMS road, and this block from Parramatta Road up to Marion Street and Leichhardt Street is already densely populated. Parking is very tight, and this is a very good example of why car parking controls in the LGA should not be shunned. And finally, I wish to bring to your attention, panel members, that a dilapidation report for 91 Balmain Road has not been conditioned, responding to my concerns that I raised in my submission. My submission you do not have in front of you. You have a summary from the officers. And I raised concerns regarding the integrity of this property development, which was built in the 60s, 91, 91A and 91B, and it's immediately uphill from the DA. I urge you to respect the council DA assessment measures and refuse this non-compliant DA. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Ibrahim. Name and address, please.
Hi, Kim Ibrahim. I'm the owner and occupier of Unit 7, number 91, Balmain Road.
You have 3 minutes, starting now.
My first issue is around cars. It's noted in the document that all vehicles must enter and exit the site in a forward direction. The engineer's report says the proposed angle will not allow this. Has the DA been amended or conditioned for cars to exit the basement onto this arterial road in a forward fashion? Moving on to my next point, it's the lifts and the side setback. The required side setback is 4.37 metres. The proposed is zero, which is on the fence, to 2 metres. The zero part is the lift right on the fence line, and it's right outside my baby's bedroom windows and all our living spaces. It's also external to the building. What I'm wondering is who builds a building with a lift hanging off the side, backing onto the fence? Imagine the noise from the lifts and the impacts on the neighbours. How's that also acceptable, given it doesn't meet the council's minimum requirements of 4.37 metres, and it blocks light also to our building, not to mention the lack of privacy? My next point is around numbers in the building. The DA allows for 26 people at a minimum to be living on site. The reality is that there'll be significantly more. People tend to have partners. Partners also sleep over. And that's significantly going to impact the parking in an area that's already got countless apartment buildings, etc. And just a further point is the indoor and outdoor space. The DA's converted some indoor communal space, to outdoor communal space to meet the floor space requirements. It's a ridiculous condition to close windows and doors at 6 p.m. for internal communal areas, all because the applicant converted some indoor communal areas to outdoor communal areas to meet floor space requirements. My question is, who really turns off their music at 6 p.m. and closes their doors and windows, particularly on a summer's evening? I know I certainly don't. How will the extensive outdoor space be monitored? In addition to that, none of my previous concerns, which I addressed, have been answered.
Is that it?
That's it, and also agreeance with all Linda's points previously addressed.
Thank you.
But also, if I've got additional airtime, There's already a bunch of boarding houses around us. Directly next door to me is a boarding house, which was extended and has many studio apartments over two floors. There's also another boarding house out the back on the next street, which is also close by. None of them have parking.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Could I just ask the first speaker a question? So the my understanding is that car stackers have been approved in developments elsewhere, you know, in other council areas, and it might be like it's entirely possible that that could work successfully on the site. The alternative is that. As I see it, is that the car stackers are removed, and then the application, should it be approved, would have fewer car spaces. What's the lesser evil, as it were? Like, there were like the condition, the requirements that are imposed upon the council by the state policy are not a requirement for a minimum standard number of car spaces. It's a requirement that says if you provide this standard, council cannot refuse the development. Council can refuse it if it's the minimum isn't required, but council can still approve it with no car parking. Council could approve, or the panel can approve it with a reduced car parking.
My point is that council ordinarily doesn't approve mechanical car stackers in this council area unless they are surplus to the minimum required. And these stackers in this case only make up half of the minimum required. Plus, they also don't approve mechanical car spaces unless they are for the same unit or tenant. And in this case, with a boarding house, it is not. My point is that why should we have concessions on planning controls that council ordinarily applies in regards to turntables and car stackers when we already have this development with extra FSR because of the provisions from the affordable SEP? We shouldn't, you know, it's a very small lot size for the bulk and scale. We understand it's a given. They're using the affordable SEP for the extra floor space. They've had to make some provisions to cut back on it because their DA actually asked for more than what the affordable SEP was allowing them. But why should we then be further penalised in regards to our amenity with basic council standards that council ordinarily applies when it assesses DAs being thrown out the window as well? So, you know, so you can see where our point is coming from.
No, not really, because I just wanted to clarify the actual standard in the SEP. They could be compliant with the SEP and have no car parking. There's no council control, as I understand it.
Well, like, I've got an email from the Director of Planning, who's now the COO, Ms. Elizabeth Richardson, who advised me the Friday before last via email that this application did not apply because of those 4 points that she put them in the email to me and pointed out that a couple of occasions to her mind that it didn't meet the standards and that the council engineers hadn't approved it.
We've seen that the council engineers haven't supported it, but what I'm just trying to explain is that the council is the council's controls. My understanding, there are no council controls for parking for boarding houses. Can I just clarify that?
No, I don't think that's correct.
There's not.
Right.
Oh, the requirements.
The requirements the same as the.
So that the council controls expresses a minimum.
The council's requirements in relation to boarding houses within the LICAT DCP do not have other controls in relation to it, but they do have controls in relation to car parking, which is as per the.
Okay, so it's 100%. So you're 100% correct that according to council's controls, it doesn't comply with the minimum because they're relying on the car spaces.
I have done my homework. It does not comply.
Okay. But the point I was trying to make is that the SEP, which overrides council's control, so the council's control isn't actually of any effect, is that there's no need, there's no minimum. It's just there's the way, unfortunately, for this application, the way it's worded in the SEP, that the council can refuse if they don't comply. It doesn't say you must comply with this number of car spaces.
But there is the car parking compliance that the manager of assessments just pointed out for you is applied. So I appreciate, panel members, that you did go to the site this morning. I had a commitment at work and I couldn't meet you there. I appreciate you going to have a look. I think you could probably, from having visited there and seen how densely populated that block is from Parramatta Road up to Leichhardt and Marion Streets, that it is very important for us, this matter that we're raising. And the council planning controls are applicable here. So it is up for you to weigh that up. But I understand there were 14 submissions made. They haven't been made public because the officers have summarised the submissions. But I would say if you've been to a council meeting and if you've heard residents speak from the heart about their experiences with insufficient parking being provided in buildings and then residents getting up and speaking about insufficient street parking to support residential parking schemes, and if you hear the stories of people with young families and shift work and have a poor health, you would be sympathetic to knowing that car parking, particularly in densely populated areas, is very important to residents in this LGA, and we are one block back from the high street. So there are applications that you could apply from the council's assessment codes in regards to car parking that you could apply in this circumstance. Thank you.
Before you go, our understanding is that when council has knocked out car stacking and there's been appeal to the court has reinstated car stacking almost invariably. That's one of the things that we have to bear in mind.
Well, that's right, but that's not the current controls of the council. So you have opportunity quarterly, I understand, to make recommendations to the council to change the planning controls and whatever, and that could be something for you to consider down the track, but it's not the current code of the council in regards to car parking, the use of mechanical car stackers. I have quoted directly from the Director of Planning and COO of the council what she replied to me in an email in regards to
but
this.
My understanding, there is actually no DCP control that says we shall have no car stackers. Like, please correct me if I'm wrong. There's no, like, we can only deal with what the controls that we have in the council's DCP, which are actually overridden, whether inconsistent, by the SEP. So the council's engineers have recommended no car stackers, but my understanding is the DCP doesn't say, and there shall be no car parking and stackers. If it did, it might make it, like, the decision might be a whole lot easier, but we don't have that written down anywhere. Is that the case? Thank you. Can I just ask, so it's not, if it's complying with the car stackers, you have a problem with the car stackers because you're worried that they may fail or they may not prepare properly or people won't use them? Is that the concern?
My concern is that they don't meet the standards that the Director of Planning for the Inner West Council quoted me in regards to where council approves the use of mechanical car stackers. And it clearly doesn't meet three out of the four. And if we had the engineer's report in front of us, we might find that it doesn't meet four out of the four.
I guess the problem with us is that the council officers have actually recommended approval. So I don't know what Elizabeth Richardson
and the council officers have failed to put the development engineer report in for you to read in the raw.
We've seen a copy of it. We understand the engineers aren't supportive of it.
I'm hearing what you're saying about the council officer recommendation, but that's not a requirement for you to support this. I've witnessed firsthand this afternoon that you make a recommendation that is different to what the council officers recommend as well.
I'm just saying that's what the evidence that we have in front of us. We have the officer's report saying, one, taking a position. We've seen the memo from the council engineer on the issue of the car stackers. We understand that, and we have to make a decision looking at those two documents. But it's Yeah.
And as I said, what concerns me is that if we say no car stacker and the applicant chooses to appeal, the likelihood is that the court will reinstate it. That's wasting everybody's time and money.
So I've sat here all afternoon and made arrangements, rearranged my work schedule to be able to address this on the basis of the information that the Director of Planning gave me as well. There have been 14 submissions made, including from the Leichhardt Primary School. This was lodged in January. The Leichhardt Primary School is in recess because of school holidays and they can't be here to speak as well, but I think you'll find that that is a big concern if you had the submissions in the raw in front of you. The reason why this DA is before you is because the number of submissions received exceeded the delegations for the officer, but yet you don't have those submissions in front of you to be able to read for yourself as well. So
this is what it says in the DCP in relation to...
viable alternative. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's and that's quoted. Okay, so we've addressed that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, car stackers are permissible under the DCP. And I have to say that this development complies with the floor space ratio control, it complies with the landscape area control, it complies with the site coverage control, it complies with all the other relevant standards. For my part, I can see no valid ground to refuse it. From my part, I'm only speaking for myself as an individual, not for the other panel members.
So the council officer Glenn's just confirmed that the policy is as quoted in the report, that it says you can have no car stackers unless there's no other viable alternative. And I guess the officer who wrote this report has concluded you can't do anything else. I mean, perhaps you could build another level of basement. I don't know. I don't know if that was explored. Oh, for the turning. Okay. What would be worse in your mind, having the car stackers and having less parking, or having the car stackers provided, assuming they'll work, you know?
I actually asked the Director of Planning and the officer directly responsible for this DA. I asked how many times does council approve the use of mechanical stackers. I got a reply from Ms. Richardson to say 2 to 3 times per annum. But no one's been able to answer my questions as well. Is how does council evaluate the performance of them and the sustainability of them? I was interested to know that. The council officer that I first directed the question to just simply didn't know, and fair enough, it may not be asked that a lot. So I actually sought for that question to be answered by the COO and the CEO of the council, and I still do not have a reply as to how council does that. So I actually don't feel very confident that council has any measures in place to evaluate the performance of stackers either. So maybe that's something for you to consider about.
Any more questions? I haven't. No, thank you.
No. Got a few changes of the conditions I want to add, including further car stackers.
Including what?
The plan of management shall be amended to have details of the operation of the car stacker and contact details of the responsible person in the event that the disaster function.
Yep.
And indicate that the car spaces shall be allocated to a particular unit only, and that any
particular
lodger
units
who...
units. Plural.
No, a particular unit only. So you know which car space you're getting.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's not just you drive into the car park and randomly have to park in a vacant space.
At random, yeah.
Yeah. And lodgers who are allocated the car stacker must be briefed on the operation of the stacker.
Well,
and the occupiers...
Oh,
it's true.
It's not have a manager on site.
But
they could tie it to that.
And the occupiers shall be advised that there will be no access to council's car parking, resident
resident parking scheme.
Good one.
Because otherwise I'll just apply for permits.
Yeah, actually that's a good one.
I couldn't see that in the conditions.
It should be on the manager. This is an in-house manager.
Sorry, you might not be able to read that. That's what I was looking at. We heard from the applicant yet? No, we haven't heard from the applicant yet. Yeah, is the applicant here?
Yeah, but I think if we read that out.
Yeah, it should be with the manager. The manager of the establishment.
Can we just hear from the applicant generally in the response?
No, we're going to approve it.
Can I hear from the applicant in response and then we make the decision?
We need to hear it to respond
because there might be more
concerns.
Yeah.
All right, applicant.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. We only wanted to just say that we obviously did a lot of work with council on this application and just to answer any questions
Could you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name's Joseph Panetta, registered architect and applicant as well. I've also got David Bobanek here, who's the town planner for the application.
Could we ask you to start by responding to the issues that have been raised by the residents?
Yep, definitely. Well, we've worked closely with council and I think from the initial application where we did have the 14 objections, we have refined the design several times. We've gone in and spoken with council face to face. We've discussed the issues and we've come up with a more refined solution since then. We have done traffic changes to the design. We have got a fully compliant design which complies with the Australian standards. Our latest traffic report shows the sweep paths. It also shows that the stackers do comply. We know that we had some issues originally with the streetscape and also with the traffic, and we've addressed those. We know that the site has excellent public transport facilities. It's in a good area, and the people that will be the end users of this proposal won't just be relying on car parking. There are bicycle parking spaces and motorcycle parking spaces, as well as the public transport system that's going to be utilised in the area. Just remembering that this is obviously a boarding house type development, which means that lower income earners may not all have cars, and we are happy either way if council if the panel does decide to keep the or to remove the stackers. We wouldn't have any issue either way with that. The issue of utilising the transport, I think I've addressed that. The issues of site, what else was there?
And the issue about vehicles exiting and in a forward
direction. That definitely complies. Mm-hmm. We've got the latest traffic report which has checked all that and it does comply. From our point of view, we're happy with the stackers, we're happy without the stackers, we're happy to provide more motorcycle or bicycle parking in lieu of the stackers if that's what, you know, the planning panel decides is a more appropriate method of transport for the site. Alternatively, we're happy to keep the stackers either way. And we're also happy with council's conditions and the changes that they're asking for in regards to enclosing the communal space and removal of one dwelling, one room.
Do you have any objection to a dilapidation of the adjoining premises?
Absolutely not.
Residential block.
That's generally a condition of consent.
It's a condition. There's a condition to that effect.
We're happy with that.
Yes.
May have been an omission in relation to that, Chair.
We're happy for that to be included.
Condition 34. Not to the.
Can I ask a
question? Yes.
You heard the comment from one of the adjacent residents about the lift well being on the outside, projecting beyond the, I think it's the northern boundary of the building.
Yes.
Is there a good reason why that has to be like that, or could it be set back?
It can be set in further into the site slightly, but it would obstruct the basement movements if it was set back more than, say, half a metre. It provides articulation to that northern facade. There are no, obviously, openings in that lift well, and I don't think that acoustically there would be any issues with that, but we'll do an acoustic report which will cover that anyway. So at CC stage, I think that's a normal condition in that area. But generally, the lifts, they don't provide too much noise in regards to like the new versions of the hydraulic lifts anyway. I don't believe there's a 4.37 metre required setback as part of the DCP.
There is. You can't just build right on the defence line.
Do you want to read out your proposed conditions?
Can we go away? Can we just sit up?
If we approve of this, we propose additional conditions, which Ms. Wharton will read out. I'd like your comments on them.
Okay, so we're taking on board some of the concerns about the cast stackers and that it may be there's a doubt as to the reliability and so on. So if we had a condition that read the on-site manager is responsible for arranging the maintenance and servicing of the car stackers.
Yeah, that's fine.
And also that the plan of management be amended to include details of the operation as an annexure of the car stacker and the contact details of a responsible person in the event that the stacker fails to function, which I guess would be the manager in the first instance, but
that's fine.
The manager may not be there.
That's fine.
Also, the way, how does the car parking work? If someone wants to have rent a room and has a car, do they get allocated a particular space, or is it just like you drive into the basement and see what's free?
I'm not too sure how the arrangement would work, but with a stacker, it works the same way as any other parking space. You can press a button. The upper space is available, it can drop down to let you drive in.
Yep.
Or if the lower space is available, you can drive straight
in.
Yeah,
no, this is more the operation of the boarding house, because the condition I would be looking at is that when you rent a room with a car space, you get nominated a car space.
Correct.
So it's not just a thing that, you know,
first
people...
in, best dressed.
That's right.
Yep.
So that someone who's got the car space in the car stacker
correct.
Will be fully informed about how to use it.
Yeah, correct.
They're not going to be, like, you know, standing, like... idling in the basement trying to work out what to do.
Correct, yes.
So that's, I think it should be clear who's getting the car space and that's tied to the actual unit.
Yep.
Also, I can't see it in the conditions, but the development has chosen to just have this amount of car space with the bare minimum under the council's DCP, including the car stacker. So there shouldn't be any entitlement to the residents being having access to council's car parking, resident car parking scheme. So I
That's
think
fine.
That would be not a reasonable thing to allow. So we've applied that condition before. I can't see it in the consent now, but I think that would be not unreasonable that... if you're going to be a resident there, you can't apply for a car parking permit.
No, that's fine.
And, in fact, the management plan could also reiterate that.
Yes.
And I was a bit concerned that the management plan is rather light on. There's no provision for a community consultation committee and for the manager's number to be displayed so that if residents do have any concerns... that they can get some immediate action and then for a register of complaints to be held on the premises and can be inspected by council and is available for council inspection, which is often a standard condition.
We're happy for that to be included.
As I said, the management plan is rather light on in that regard, and I think the community need to be able to have their concerns responded to quickly and immediately, and the manager's phone number should be available, given that he is on supposedly on site.
Correct.
Thank you.
Sorry.
And I'm just doing a community consultation.
Do you want this? Do you want this as amendment to the plan of management?
I think it should be conditioned standalone and then in the plan of management.
Thank you.
saying this is no good. Condition 34A and 34A. At condition 34A. And condition 34A.
Complaints management?
Managers mobile number must be visible. Complaints on the site to show how the complaint was responded to. The register shall be available inspection. Is that all right with you, David? Just the community consultation requirement within 3 months of operation and then held as needed and managers register.
What we are doing, of course, is tweaking some of the conditions and adding some conditions. It is apparent that we are prepared to approve the development, but we are tightening up a lot of conditions, which we think will be required to make the thing workable satisfactorily. We have noted the objections, particularly in relation to the mechanical car stacker, but we think that you should have that rather than have a shortfall of car parking spaces. We are adding a proper dilapidation report, which is appropriate. Generally, we note that the application generally conforms with the state policy and it complies with the it complies with the relevant controls relating to floor space ratio, landscaped area, site coverage, and that sort of thing, which makes it acceptable as a physical thing. But I'd like you to observe the additional conditions that are being put up to see if you have any concerns with any of them.
that covers it. I think that covers it. So as I've said, the panel has decided to approve the application with these various additional tightening up conditions. Are they acceptable to you? You are? All right. So as I've said, we see no reason to refuse this application. With these additional conditions, it should be acceptable. And that is the determination of the panel. Thank you for your attendance. And with that, we can now formally close the meeting at 7:03 p.m.